Also this morning, we presented an honorary doctorate to today's speaker, Sandy Sansing, a man known for his philanthropy to higher education and outstanding service to the University of West Florida, as well as to the wider community. It was my pleasure for us to confer upon him the Doctor of Humane Letters, and you will hear from Dr. Sansing shortly. Please help me welcome Dr. Sandy Sansing.
Doctor? I kind of like it, though. Yeah, we were at the graduation ceremony on Saturday for my son was getting his mechanical engineering degree, and they had healthcare sciences was in the same graduation. So it was, engineering and a bunch of other similar kinds of fields in healthcare. And Sandy Sansing was the speaker, and it was really good. I wanted to share some of it with you because it's really quite good.
As Dr. Saunders mentioned, I did have the first golf scholarship years ago, and it covered my tuition of $99 a semester. How does that compare today, parents?
Well, of course, many of us use Bright Futures, so no cost. But still, $99 for a semester, that's pretty good.
I'm so thankful to be here today for this opportunity to be your speaker. One reason that I'm especially thankful to be here, that in the history of the University of West Florida, and probably all colleges and universities, I may be the only car salesman with this honor.
I would think somebody else somewhere has been a car salesman and given a speech, but I'm not sure. It was the first one I've heard by a car salesman.
And it is a privilege to be here, and I don't take it lightly. I'm thankful and excited, and in my excitement to do a good job, I ask my children what would be most important topic for these young graduates. My kids, veterans of many commencement addresses, kind of laughed and said, "Dad, these kids, these young people are so excited, they don't listen to speeches anymore." But hopefully you will today. Chairman Lewis Baer, former chairman that Dr. Saunders mentioned, gave me some really good advice. He says, "Sandy, there's never been a bad short speech." So I will be brief.
Yep. People will remember that you talked on and that you didn't have a point. They might not remember you if all you did was short and boring. But if you do short and good, oh, man. People will remember that. And I have a good one for you here, actually. It's a really good speech.
Thinking of what topic to discuss today, I considered many. The value of hard work, a positive attitude, the ability to never quit, to build relationships, and from my wonderful father, always do your best. And today, I have a very non-traditional topic I would like to discuss with you. I'm not going to tell you about things I've read about, things I've heard about, but I'm going to talk about my personal experiences that have changed my life. I have had a lot of experiences. You see, I've been 21, but you haven't been 77.
That's a good reminder for sure. So I'm going to actually let you hear the meat of his speech, which is about 6 minutes long. I'm going to let you hear it in its entirety because it was really good, like really good. And I don't want to interrupt it or talk through it. I just want you to hear it for a second. So, okay, back to the speech that Sandy Sansing gave to the commencement address on Saturday. And I'm just going to play it in its entirety because, I want it to have the impact on you that I think it had, at least on us and on the graduates. So here goes.
My topic, which changed my life, can best be told in a personal story. In many ways, it seemed like yesterday that I was sitting right where you are, receiving my diploma in accounting, looking forward to a great future. But it's been 55 years, and a lot of things have changed. My thoughts then, like many of your thoughts today, are, what's next? I have graduated. Hello, world. What am I going to do? Now what? Well, for me and many of you, it was a job. It was work. With a degree in accounting, you go to work in an accounting firm. And I did. Though I treasure my accounting degree and knowledge, sitting behind a desk all day was not for me. So I decided I wanted to be a salesperson. And I chose computer sales. Back then, if you can even think of that, there was no such thing as an iPhone or an iPad or even a personal computer. A computer then would stretch from Dr. Saunders or even further to me, and it did not have the power of your current Apple iPhone. A computer was huge. After going to work for the Burris Corporation, there was IBM and Burris, and I ended up with Burris. I was immediately sent to Detroit, Michigan for a basic 3-week sales course. I learned features, benefits, how to sell a rubber band, how to sell a piece of paper. How do you sell something? My territory when I finished my class was downtown Mobile, Alabama. The month was July. You can imagine, and you know the heat and the humidity we have in the Mobile, Pensacola area. I had to wear a suit. I had to wear a tie. I had to wear a long sleeve shirt. And I had to carry a 29-pound adding machine under my arm as I went up and down the streets of downtown Mobile, knocking on doors, trying to get past a receptionist to get to the owner to sell up an adding machine. I had to sell $10,000 worth to go to my next school. Then I could start on computers. Well, at the end of the first week, the excitement had worn off. I was totally wet with perspiration and sweat from walking the streets, carrying the adding machine in the 90 and 100 degree heat and humidity that we have. I was frustrated from all my rejections, and my arms hurt from carrying the adding machine. And I started thinking, what am I doing? I've got a college degree. I've got a degree in accounting. Why am I out here sweating, working, getting frustrated? And I sat down and I had a first class pity party. I felt sorry for myself. Why am I doing this? And then after sitting there and contemplating for a while, reality hit, and I realized that in any job, in any position in life, you start at the bottom. A new college professor will not start as president as Dr. Saunders. A new salesperson for IBM or Burroughs does not start as a president or a sales manager. You start at the bottom. So whatever job, whatever profession you have chosen, be prepared. You're going to start at the bottom. And you need to learn your business or profession from the ground level up. So the college degree you have, and it's a wonderful degree from a fantastic university, it will open the door to the next chapter in your life. But then it is up to you. Through hard work and a great attitude, you can accomplish any goals that you set out for. So I sucked it up. I got a good attitude. I went back to work. I sold my $10,000 of adding machines, and I worked 5 more years for the Burroughs Corporation. I then met a gentleman who came from California, and he has seen individuals like us be able to start your own computer business by buying the computer itself from a company that invented the world's first mini computer. Then we would come up with program software and match with that hardware, and we would begin selling them to businesses and government. We planned for several months. We set a date we were going to start. And then the night before I was to resign, I got cold feet. I got scared. I had the fear of failure. I said, I'm going to compete with IBM? What if I run out of money? What am I going to tell people? And after all, I had saved $2,500 from bagging groceries and cutting yards. That was my startup capital, $2,500, and I'm going to go after the IBM salespeople. Total panic set in. I didn't know what to do. I went to see my best friend, my mentor, my dad. And a great lesson, I think, for every one of our young people here, find yourself a mentor. Find yourself somebody you can go to in times of trouble when you have decisions to make, someone you trust and someone who will give you great advice. I sat down with my dad. I gave him all my fears, all my worries, all my panicking. He listened intently. When I finished, he looked at me and he said, Sandy, go for it. Go for it. I don't want you to spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder thinking, what if I'd have tried? What if I'd have taken that step? What if I'd have gone forward? Where could I be today? He said, Sandy, go for it. With newfound confidence from my dad, the next day I resigned. Within 5 years, we grew our little computer company to big enough, a national company, that we sold it. I took the money from that, and I bought my first car dealership. Why do I tell you this? And this is my non-traditional topic. I tell you this because every one of you are going to have a very limited number of opportunities, which will become the defining moments in your life. Opportunities that can and will totally change your life. What will you do when those opportunities come? Will you continue in your comfort zone? Will you settle for mediocrity or second best? Will you let the fear of failure keep you right where you are? Or will you have the courage to go for it? It may be grad school, maybe medical school, law school. It may be a top branch in the U.S. military. It may be going to work for a company that's hard to go to work for, Or guys, it may be popping the question to the beautiful young lady you would like to spend your life with. You will have these opportunities. You will come face to face with these decisions. And when you do, I hope you will follow my dad's advice and go for it. Thank you for letting me be here. I congratulate our graduates and their families. And I thank you, Dr. Saunders, for this wonderful opportunity.
I couldn't imagine that Sandy Sansing almost quit before he got started. That Sandy Sansing, on the verge of starting his own business that gave him the money to build the dealerships, almost didn't do it. Sandy Sansing could have just been an employee in some, you know what I mean? Like, that's amazing. But it's so relatable. Just go for it. It's good. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a great speech. And it was short. You know, it was short, which is always good. Kudos for a speech. Wonderful ceremony, by the way. I thought Martha Saunders, actually, she had kind of a cute comment in there.
You and this university, from this day forth, are inextricably bound to each other. You can change your name or your address. You can change your marital status or even your hair color, but you can never change your alma mater. For as long as you have a resume, we'll be with you.
Oh, we'll be there. I kind of like that. So, you know, you get all the way down to the end, you do all of the, you know, everybody comes forward and they do their thing. And, you know, after everybody's gotten their diploma, well, it's not really their diploma, but it's a symbolic, you know, it's always funny how you don't really get the thing at the ceremony, but everybody knows you don't get the thing, but we all pretend that you do. You know, it's kind of weird.
One of the rights and privileges of the bachelor's degree is wearing the tassel on the left. It is a university tradition that we pause now to change the position of your tassel from the right to the left.
And now it's almost real. I mean, it is real, but you still have to pass your classes and you still have to actually get the diploma. And you still have to behave in the ceremony, because if you don't behave in the ceremony, they can hold up your diploma for you. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go on. Anyway, so congratulations to all the graduates, and I still cannot believe I got a kid who graduated college. Oh, my God. How is it possible for a 35-year-old? Anyway.
Closer and closer to freedom.
That's my wife's view of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I'm sad because I think he's going to get a job and he wants to leave Florida because he doesn't love the weather here. And I'm like, but you know it's going to be cold. He's like, I'm looking forward to it. I'm like, you'll be back. Anyway, but, you know, my son that I have fed and hugged and held and seen almost every single day of his life, except for times when I was like out of town for some travel or something, you know, it's in the near future, he's just not going to be down the hall. And I hate it. I mean, I love it because I want him to go out and strive and succeed and all that. But I'm not happy about losing him.
Empty nester.
It is. It's killing me.
I'm just saying. Mm. Willing to get you a support animal or something.
I don't need it just yet, but it's